Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. In this case, VA complied with its duty to assist only insofar as it invited the VA doctors, Dr. Burton's attention to evidence later determined by VA to be dispositive, while neglecting to give the veteran an opportunity to inform his treating physician of the same evidence.
Well, no, it's not really the way the facts developed, is it? I mean, the veteran knew in the 60s that he had torn his knee up playing softball. He could have supplied that evidence to his doctor, couldn't he?
There's no indication in the record that he specifically did not. It is just not mentioned by Dr. Sousa in his two opinions.
Which gives the board and the Court of Veterans Appeals ample record upon which to make the judgment they did, right? That in fact, the 68 softball injury was considered by one doctor and not mentioned at all by the other. And so they have to make a choice. They chose the one that seemed to have the most support.
I think, Your Honor, that jumps ahead too much and ignores VA's duty to assist in this case.
Well, the duty is a duty to assist the claimant in obtaining evidence. In this case, the claimant had the evidence and himself didn't supply it to his doctor, at least as far as the record indicates, right?
With respect
to... There's no evidence that the claimant needed, that the department had, that it did not supply to the claimant to help him make his case, right?
What the department did not do is inform Mr. Walsh what it was going to rely on to ultimately deny his claim. They gave the VA doctor two bites of the apple, if you will, in order to develop evidence to ultimately deny Mr. Walsh's claim, but did not give the same opportunity to the private evidence. And with respect, I believe the duty to assist...
We're talking about Mr. Walsh's knee. Now, he knows what's happened to his knee in his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has a little twisty accident when he's in the military, and he tears it so bad he breaks his tibia. In the 60s. He knows that, right?
Presumably,
yes. He's struggling really hard to figure out what the DVA has to do to provide him with that information.
The Department of Veterans Affairs, under the duty to assist with respect to your earlier statement, its duty doesn't extend just to getting the evidence. It extends to substantiating his claim. And under the legislative history and under the court's interpretation of the duty to assist, substantiating his claim would presumably mean giving him a chance to develop.
But I think what Judge Rader is trying to say is the fact that the veteran had this information. He knew the information himself. Whether or not he gave it to his doctor so that the doctor could provide a particular report to the VA. Isn't that the issue? How much did he disclose to his own doctor? And if he did disclose him, the doctor was trying to help him by not focusing in on that injury?
I have no
problem that we're creating otherwise, because here we're saying that if you lie to your doctor, it's fine, because the VA will have to find that information and send it to the doctor and give you a second bite at the apple?
Your Honor, I don't believe that there is any basis in this record to conclude that Mr. Walsh misled his treating physician in any way. What Mr. Walsh did, and on the second time in the 99 Dr. Sousa opinion, it could appear that Mr. Walsh gave him his service medical records, because in the first examination, Dr. Sousa did not give him any indication of the service medical record review. In the second examination, Mr. Walsh knew that he had to at least get his service medical records to his doctor, and did so. And that was what was sufficient to reopen. And then upon reopening, rather than doing what was simpler and going back clarifying Dr. Sousa's opinion, which would have probably been, if you will, the most reasonable course of procedures that VA would have taken, they went out and got a whole new opinion from VA. And then, that wasn't sufficient, they again sent it back to that VA doctor. This time, he did give a sufficient opinion for them. But what was left undeveloped in this record, and the legislative history would indicate that an entire record should be substantiated, and it is VA's duty to do so, This record was incomplete. VA knew it was incomplete and did not take steps to even inform Mr. Walsh.
What was the nature of the incompleteness at this point? What do you mean it was incomplete?
I mean that Dr. Souza's opinion is incomplete in that Dr. Souza didn't address the 66 injury, which is what the board ultimately decided was dispositive in this case, to deny him service connection.
But if he knew it existed and didn't put it in his report, what then? If Dr. Souza knew about the particular injury and did not include it in his report,
we have no way of knowing why he did or did not include it in his report.
Well, that's right. And whose responsibility is that? Are you saying that it is the VA's responsibility to put Dr. Souza on the stand and say to him, why did you not talk about that 1966 injury? What are you doing?
Your Honor, I believe that it is VA's duty under the law to assist the claimant in substantiating his claim. And in substantiating his claim, they had a duty to at least tell Mr. Walsh, look, this is missing from this report. This is good enough. We have evidence that you had an injury in service, and we have evidence that you have a knee disability today. What's missing is that your doctor hasn't addressed these particular medical records. And our doctor has.
You keep using the term substantiating, the VA's duty to substantiate his claim. I thought it was the VA's duty to help him develop his claim. Was that the same thing?
Well, under the plain language of the statute itself, which 103 big A.
It's in obtaining evidence necessary to substantiate. So it's the obtaining evidence that they have to do, right? Assist them to obtain evidence.
Well, but
which we've often referred to as helping him develop his claim. I don't know that we've ever said it's the VA's duty to make his case for him.
There's case law that says that it is not VA's duty to make his case for him. But in the next section, Your Honor, little 2, the Secretary is not required to provide assistance to claimants under this section if no reasonable possibility exists that such assistance would aid in substantiating the claim. There was a reasonable possibility in this case that asking Dr. Souza to clarify his opinion would aid in substantiating the claimant's claim. And it is VA's burden, not the claimant's burden. It is VA's burden and its duty to assist the claimant. So in other words, just gathering the evidence in this particular instance is incomplete. And it seems to me that VA recognized that was incomplete. It didn't just gather evidence. It got an opinion from Dr. Burton and then looked at it and said, no, this is insufficient for rating purposes. We've got to send it back to him. It seems from the record that the VA did know that it was under an obligation to substantiate this claim, to fully develop the record. What it didn't, and it did so. It did so with respect to the negative evidence. But it did not take the time and do what was perfectly reasonable in this case and ask for a clarification.
Why didn't the VA fully satisfy its duty to assist by having its own physician examined, Mr. Wall?
I don't believe that the two are mutually exclusive. Certainly under Deem 5103 Big 81, they found it necessary to go and get another medical examination. And they're not mutually exclusive. They can do that. There's nothing wrong with them going out to get that examination. But they should have also gone and helped the veteran to substantiate his claim and to fully develop the record.
No, it's to help the claimant obtain evidence. But he already had this evidence. In fact, this evidence was uniquely within his knowledge more than anyone else's, wasn't it? Do we have to tell people what happened to them?
I believe
you're asking. Are you asking us to authorize the department to release private medical records without the knowledge of the claimants?
No, Your Honor. And many times VA asks for veterans' permission in order to release their records. What we're saying is that they had a duty at least because what happened, VA made an adjudication. VA made a call, and it was negative to Mr. Walsh. They made that call based on the fact that their own physician was told to review the 1966 evidence and to put it in his report. The evidence that was positive for Mr. Walsh, that doctor was never given the opportunity to know that this was what was going to be dispositive.
Who did he examine?
I'm sorry?
Who did Mr. Walsh's physician examiner, Mr. Walsh.
Yes, Your Honor.
Wouldn't Mr. Walsh say, here's what's happened to my knee?
And he may have.
And he may have.
Okay. We just know, all we know from the record is that Dr. Sousa, his treating physician, didn't mention it. And when it went back to Dr. Sousa, he thought, and at that time it was to reopen the claim. And he, unrepresented by counsel.
You'd like us to engage in the assumption that Mr. Walsh's doctor knew of the instance, but just simply didn't mention it. Well, then the Veterans Administration can make exactly the same conclusion, right? That he knew of the instance.
Your Honor, respectfully, I'm not asking the court to engage in any assumptions. I'm asking the court to review simply the record before it. All we have before us is the fact that Dr. Sousa went through, said that...
doesn't do much to help your client.
But it's VA's duty to assist, and by assisting,
to
help our client.
Assist client. In obtaining evidence, in this case evidence Mr. Walsh already had.
Again, I think that it's to develop, I think that the duty to assist extends all the way to developing the entire record and to substantiating a claim. And that is found in the plan.
Secretary is not required to provide assistance if there's no reasonable possibility such assistance would aid in substantiating the claim. Well, in this case, you must assume that he already knows what happened to his knee in 66 playing softball. They must think doesn't substantiate his claim any more than it already does, right?
But it's perfectly reasonable, and I think that that's the standard. It is reasonable to presume that it is reasonable for VA to develop this full record if it's going to make a call on the fact that the 66 records were reviewed. If that's the call it's going to make, if that's what it's going to find as positive, VA needs to tell the veteran, needs to assist the veteran in helping him understand why his claim could conceivably be denied.
That's not what the statute says. VA needs to assist the claimant in obtaining evidence. Well, the only evidence at issue here happened to be in the hands of your client. What assistance do you have? I hear you, Mr. Stokes, saying that, well, you know, the way they did, they shouldn't have listened to their experts so much, because the record suggests the expert knew about the 66 injury, whereas it's not so clear whether Mr. Walsh's doctor knew about it. And that's a very real possibility in this case. But if the doctor for Mr. Walsh didn't know about it, it's because either Mr. Walsh hid it or the doctor deliberately didn't admit to it. I don't know which of those things happened, but I don't see how you can bring that into a statutory duty to the government to obtain evidence necessary to substantiate the claimant's claim. That's where I'm having a little trouble getting how you want us to turn this case around.
I don't believe that there is anything wrong with the VA, and it is perfectly free to do so, and decided to, in this case, under D1 of 5103 Big A. Go out and get its own examination. There's absolutely no problem with VA weighing that examination more than
using whatever evidence they have before them, as long as it's legitimate evidence, right?
As long as it's fully developed evidence. As long as they've taken reasonable steps to substantiate this record.
You want to say, Mr. Stoles?
I have one question, Mr. Stoles.
Yes, Your Honor.
In the board's finding, there's a statement on page 8 saying, the veteran's private physician, Dr. Sousa, noted in March 1988 that the veteran had a left knee problem and that he has a previous cartilage tear as well as a fracture 20 years ago, referring to the 1966 injury. So his private physician knew about it, didn't he?
It would appear from that he did. It's a bit unclear. I think whether or not he was referring to that, I mean, that opinion isn't necessary, doesn't pinpoint it and doesn't know.
I knew that 20 years ago he had a fracture of the knee.
Yes.
Would you like to save your rebuttal time?
I would, Your Honor. Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Stoles. Mr. Hopkins.
May I please report? As an initial matter, of course, 5107A requires that the burden to establish the claim is on the claimant, not the VA. The VA is designed, as the court has already indicated earlier today, that the VA is charged with trying to develop the record, and in this case, they did. They obtained all the evidence that was available. They even went out and had their own physician review that evidence, and they provided an examination to Mr. Walsh and provided an opinion. And ultimately, the board determined that they favored the one opinion over the other. There's some reference earlier by counsel about favoring negative evidence, developing negative evidence, but we submit that at the time VA determines to go out and get a medical examination from its own doctors, there is no issue with negative or positive evidence, just evidence. It's only at the time later when the decision makers are, who are different from the doctor, obviously, who are reviewing the evidence, and they make their determination about, you know, how they're going to come out in a particular case, that someone could then look back with hindsight and say, well, the negative evidence was favored. Well, perhaps it was favored because it was predominant.
Mr. Hockey, well, yeah. Mr. Walsh, correct that if the veterans report that the doctors of the VA find that there is no evidence to support the particular requirement for some kind of compensation, and there's a difference between the two reports, the private report and the VA's report, don't you think that maybe there is a duty on the VA to send that report over and see if that can be corrected?
No. In the Veterans Court, in the Watte case discussed in all the briefs, indicated that in a particular circumstance in which the VA is on notice that a veteran had attempted to obtain a private medical report, but that doctor was not able to provide the report because he wasn't provided access with certain
records.
But
in Watte, there was no VA medical report.
Well, the issue in that case was more that one of the private medical doctors had provided a letter to VA indicating that he would have liked to have provided a medical opinion, but was not able to because he didn't have access to the service medical records.
There was no medical report by a VA doctor in Watte.
I may be right. I mean, I can look here to review. But
there was no medical examination by the VA in Watte.
And there was one here.
Right.
And again,
which differed from the one that the private physician provided.
Differed in the in its depth, certainly. I think the evidence speaks for itself as far as the private physician submitted a letter in 92 and a letter in 99, which were in both cases fairly top level. And while the VA report is a much more detailed report going through all the records.
Why should the VA then be under an obligation to advise the veteran as to what the deficiencies of his report are or his private physician's report?
They do that in their decision. That's their obligation. Their obligation is to develop the record.
But at that point, it's done and over with, isn't it?
Well, there's always an avenue of appeal. If the decision comes in the regional office and there's a decision based upon an inadequate report, the veteran is free to submit additional evidence before the board or even before the regional office before the case is transferred. And if the decision comes from the board, the veteran has his arguments available for the veterans. I mean, what you have here is a system that is encouraging the veteran while he's before the regional office and board to submit additional evidence. In this case, it's a perfect example of a veteran who was invited numerous times to submit evidence. And in fact, the facts of this case, as I think we've already discussed, are not strong for the comment. When you consider that Dr. Sousa submitted a report in 1992, which was criticized in a regional office decision for not providing sufficient discussion or detail of the in-service events. And that was in the 1993 regional office decision, and again in the 1995 or 1998 board decision, which we have identified as in our supplemental appendix. And if you look at page 7, there's at the top of page 7 of the supplemental appendix, there's the criticism of the earlier 1992 report, and the very next paragraph talks about the 1966 documents, which the board had previously received the year before from Mr. Walsh. Subsequent to this board decision, Dr. Sousa felt that he needed to provide another opinion in which he now refers to the 1955 documents, but does not refer to the 1966 documents, given the fact that presumably he's reacting to this 1988 board decision in which discussion of the inadequacy of his prior report was juxtaposed against the discussion of the 1966 documents. Those are not very good facts for trying to place any kind of burden on the VA in this case. As we stated in our brief, we think ultimately this is really just an application of law and fact question. The Veterans Court below found that the duty to assist was complied with. That we believe is a factual question or involving the application of facts to law, which this court doesn't have jurisdiction to consider. And any other complaints about the weighing of the evidence, again, would be similarly beyond this court's jurisdiction.
Thank you, Mr. Hockey. Mr. Stoltz, you have less than a minute.
Your Honor, I would simply like to point out that Mr. Hockey alluded to the fact that there was criticism of the 92 report that presumably could have put the veteran on some kind of notes. But after that report happened, they went and got another report from Dr. The veteran went of his own volition, unrepresented by counsel.
Mr. Stoltz, you may have less than a minute, but you don't have to talk quite so fast. We'll give you the extra time to make the first sentence.
Thank you, Your Honor. At the time that he went and was on some type of notice that what he had was incomplete, he went out of his way to go to Dr. Sousa and get a report. This report from Dr. Sousa presumably had what an unrepresented veteran at the time, I think he was assisted by a veteran service organization and not by counsel, would think would be enough to substantiate his case. They reopened based on that evidence. What he did not know, and what VA had the duty to do to fully substantiate his claim and to gather the full record and to gather a full evidence, was that in order for this to be granted, that doctor, Dr. Sousa, would have to mention, presumably, the 66 accident.
Okay, I think we've heard that argument. Thank you, Mr. Stoltz.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.